The word of God given to us today is the Acts chapter 13, verse 44 through 52. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you rejected and do not consider yourself worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Apostle Paul, who came down with an endemic disease in Perga, went to Pisidian Antioch by crossing the rough peaks of Taurus Mountain. When he arrived there, Sabbath came, and Apostle Paul went to a Jewish synagogue, although he was sick, and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jewish people who were moved by Paul's sermon and the converts to Judaism asked Paul to preach again on the next Sabbath. Paul gladly accepted their request. On the next Sabbath, something happened that nobody could imagine. A great crowd gathered at the Jewish synagogue. People who were moved by Paul's preaching had spread the news about him, and most people who heard about him and could come to the synagogues had shown up. But there were people who became very jealous of Paul upon seeing the crowd. These were the leaders of the Jewish faith and their followers who had been giving the sermon at the Jewish synagogue up to that time. When they gave sermons, there was never a time when such a crowd had come. But upon seeing that a crowd beyond their imagination had come to listen to Paul, whom they had never seen before, they thought that their religious authority and pride had been greatly damaged. Their jealousy towards Paul did not just end with the jealousy, but turn into arguments and criticism. In one word, they who control the synagogue stop Paul from preaching anymore at the synagogue. To this, Paul said the following. We had to speak the word of God to you first, since you rejected and do not consider yourself worthy of eternal life. At the time, Paul had not preached about his thoughts. He was delivering God's words. That Jewish leaders interfered with Paul from preaching the God's words meant that they were, most of all, people who interfered with God. Therefore, Paul told them, "You reject God's word and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life." What Paul meant was that if they had received eternal life, they could never do what they were doing. that something is eternal means that it never changes, transcending times and space, and remains true. Therefore, eternal life means true life. Since the only one who is eternal in this finite world of creature is God, only God is eternal life, the source of true life. Accordingly, to argue with and criticize the word of God's eternal life was to consider oneself not worthy of eternal life. So Paul's observations that you reject God's words and do not consider yourself worthy of eternal life were very much on the point, and Paul's words continue as follows. Let's look at the verse 46 through 47. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first, since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life. We now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." As we looked last week, Paul quoted Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, to declare that he would now turn towards the Gentiles. This does not mean that he would not associate with the Jews anymore, but only deal with Gentiles. But it was a declaration and a confirmation meant to confirm Paul's identity as an instrument of God for the Jews as well as Gentiles. Let's see verse 48. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. When Paul declared that he would now turn to Gentiles, quoting Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, the Gentiles became glad and praised the word of God that promised he would save them. These Gentiles included not only the Jewish converts who attended the synagogue regularly, but the Gentiles who had come to the synagogue for the first time to listen to Paul. All these Gentiles became glad. Probably the converts to Judaism were happier. At the time, Jewish people who believed they were the chosen people of God were all prejudiced against other people. They did not see themselves the same as other Gentile races. Even if they had converted to Judaism, a Gentile could not enter the Jerusalem temple and he had to receive different treatments from the Jews. Therefore, we can easily guess how happy the Gentiles must have been and how they must have praised God when they heard the word of God that promised the same deliverance for the Gentiles from Paul. What we want to focus on today is the testimony of today's text that, as Paul said, all who were appointed for eternal life believed.
핍박하고 비방하고 방해한 유대교 지도자들을 향해서는 너희가
It wasn't the case that Paul looked at the Jewish leaders and decided first that you reject God's word and you do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life. On the other hand, Paul preached to the Gentiles in the text. That the Gentiles consider themselves worthy of eternal life and appointed for eternal life. Paul preached God's words to the Jewish people first and saw their response. And only as a result of seeing their response, Paul came to regard them as Jewish people who do not consider themselves worthy of eternal life. How did Jewish leaders show themselves as people who were not deserving of eternal life? Did they simply say that, I don't deserve it? No, it wasn't the case. They did so by arguing and criticizing the Word of God and even by interfering with Paul so that they could no longer preach God's words. How did the Gentiles show themselves as people who were appointed for eternal life? Was it by only confessing with their lips that I believe in Jesus Christ? No, it wasn't the case. Let's look at the verse 49. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. As a result of the Gentiles of today's text believing in God's word, the word of God came to be spread through Pisidian Antioch. They not only rejoiced in and praised God's word, but they became the right witnesses of God's word. That the words of God spread through the whole region because of them meant that they became the channel of the words of God that came to them. God's eternal life, God's true life. That was what showed that they had become people appointed for eternal life. On the other hand, that the party of Jewish leaders argued and criticized God's word meant that they refused to be the channel for the God's word that they had come to them, the eternal life of God, the true life of God. It was those acts that showed they considered themselves not worthy of eternal life. Here we again gain a valuable understanding. If we are truly the children of God who received deliverance within Jesus Christ, and if we really want to live as such children of God, then we must live as the channel of God's word that came to us. In other words, as channels of God's eternal life, the true life. German theologian Joachim Bach defined the essential elements of religious experience in four words. First, ultimacy. A religious experience is the human response to experiencing the ultimate existence, in other words, God. Second, totality. If a religious experience is a human response to experiencing God, such response is not a partial experience but a total experience that includes all aspects of his life. Third, intensity. Experiencing God is the most intense experience a man could have. Lastly, action. A religious experience in which a person experiences God always becomes manifest in his actions. To believe in God means obtaining God's eternal life, the true life that never weakens or dissipates. This life is not just one part of us, it's life that renews us entirely. Gaining such life is an intense experience that cannot be compared with any other experience, because there is no such life in this world that will one day decay and disappear. Therefore, this life must become manifest in our every action. In other words, a person who has gained such life is bound to become the channel of such life because of the very power that is within such life. Then, exactly what does it mean to live as the channel of God's eternal life, His true life? Let us find an answer through the testimony of Elder Hwang Kyo-jin, who attends Disciple Church in Gangdong-gu, Seongnae-dong. Hello. My dream was to become an architect who builds a beautiful love house. The biggest wish I had as an architecture student at college was to somehow help my mother's life to return to normal as her days and nights were switched in order for her to work. She worked as a wholesaler of women's clothes at Dongdaemun Market every morning for over 20 years. She went to her store at 10 o'clock at night and came home the next afternoon. She then took care of the different things at home and only went to sleep after sundown. It was hard for us to have daily conversations as a mother and son, but to me, her diligence and hard work were inspiring sermons and a textbook on love in and of themselves. It was 13 years ago that a day that completely changed my life and that I could never forget came. My mother had fought her headaches with medicine, but she had a collapse in her store after suffering brain hemorrhage. She lost consciousness at the time I had received admission to attend a graduate school, and my mother's stroke brought shock and sadness. It felt like the sky was coming down on me. I prayed for a miracle. God, please don't call my mother yet. Please let her leave. Maybe because of my prayer, my mother continued to hold on to her life. 3 months in intensive care and 5 months in the general ward. My mother, who lost her consciousness in November of 1997, when the foreign exchange crisis happened, spent winter and spring in the hospital, and I had to bring her home in early summer as the hospital discharged her without any hope for recovery. From then on, I did not pray about why. God, why did you let the brain hemorrhage continue? Why do you leave her as a vegetable, unable to recover? These questions only made me depressed and burdened me, and were not helpful at all in focusing on things I had to do. So I changed the question from why to how. God, how can I take care of my mother, whom you saved so that she would be more comfortable? How could I cope with the situation since I don't have any medical knowledge? After I changed my prayer topic, I received a miraculous response. I made a very detailed 24-hour schedule to take care of my mother and put it into practice, and her physical condition, her complexion, temperatures, and blood pressure all greatly improved. But her consciousness, as I had prayed, did not return. And in that process, I experienced an even greater miracle than the supernatural miracle of my mother's consciousness dramatically returning to her. That miracle was experienced the change in my heart, although the situation did not change. By doing everything to take care of my mother for 14 years, I gained the power to chart my way through a desert without losing my way. For example, things that are hard feel less burdensome. I can forgive now my father and myself, who seem beyond forgiveness. I feel peace instead of the anxiety and insecurity about failing behind other people, about falling behind other people and becoming a kind of social misfit I used to feel. I feel calm in situations where it is impossible to find any peace on my mind. Oh, these are presents that God has given me. Maybe these are not miracles because they are not immediately noticeable, but I think that a change in perspective, while the situation remains the same, is difficult as a supernatural physical recovery. God did not allow my mother's consciousness to return so that we could talk and eat together as before. During 8 years in which I bathed her every day and feed her porridge that has more than 250 calories, I had not slept normally even for one day, but I am more healthy now than before. When I look at my mother's peaceful face, being cared for with my hands that are being held by God, all my tiredness and disappear. The only thing that kept me going while taking care of my mother was to write every day about my experience. The 7 years of writing, which were written out of my faith in God and waiting, was published as a book under the title of My Mother is at a Picnic. After the book was published, there was a lot of requests to come on television and for interviews. However, I thought that to appear frequently before camera in bright lights was something that hurt the authenticity of life to which God has led me. So I turned away all offers to appear on television. After that, the revenues from the book sales were nearly not enough to cover my mother's medical expenses. But God had prepared another way for me. For 7 years, I had taken care of my mother's without a job, and all I did was to write about faith through the experience of taking care of my mother. But I received an offer to work as the public relations office of a large company. And this year, I was asked to work as an editor at Hong Songsa, the publisher of books that gave me great encouragement while I was taking care of my mother. The miracles did not end there. I thought I would never get married. I knew there were too many obstacles to me getting married and accepted the reality that I would live alone. But the obstacles that I thought made my marriage impossible actually became stepping stones to my marriage. The woman, who is now my wife, said she felt the love of God taking care of our souls as she watched how I took care of my mother. So even though my mother is a human vegetable without any consciousness, she turned her only son into an author, gave him training so that he could get a job, and helped him to meet a precious wife who knows what a truly important in life. And God allowed me to have a beautiful son who has big eyes like my wife. I dreamed of building beautiful buildings that people can see, but now I changed my life's dream to become the architect of the spirits who builds people's hearts that cannot be seen. All of this is thanks to the love of my mother, who still prays for her son in her spirits, although she lies without consciousness. Looking back on my life, I can see that I have run the course towards a new goal in the desolate desert without an inch of error. While other people thought I had landed there by an unfortunate accident, that way was never desolate because next to me there was the loving community of church and my old dream of returning night and day to a normal pattern for my mother, and I think had come true 200%. Because my mother always sleeps with such peaceful face, as if it were deep into the night, with a face that seems to say that she's on picnic every day. So even if I'm tired today, I think about the daily miracle that God has given me, the miracle of the heart. And this is what I say. Yes, my mother and I are the main characters of a very difficult miracle. Thank you. Elder Hwang Byung-kyu has said that he turned down all offers for broadcasting appearances and requests for interviews after his book was published. In terms of common sense, wouldn't more books sell the more he gives interviews and appears in television? And wouldn't he have earned more money from the sales that and his economic situation improve? But what would have been his reason for turning them down? The media companies wanted to treat his story as a testament to human spirits, while Mr. Hwang knew that it was not brought by his will or ability. It was the eternal life in God, the true life, that had worked through him to accomplish the work of life. It wouldn't have been possible for Mr. Hwang to achieve the miracle if there had not been the true life of God, the true eternal life of God. For Mr. Hwang, becoming the channel for God consisted of asking not why, but how to God. If he had continued to ask, why did you turn my mother into a human vegetable and block my future? He could not have become the passageway of life for his mother. He prayed about how he could comfortably take care of his mother, how he could overcome sufferings with his mother, although he didn't know anything about medicine. The situation that his mother became a human vegetable did not change at all, but he kept on praying. However, his perspective changed so that he did not reject or avoid that desperate situation, but he was able to accept it as it is. To believe in God is to gain the life of eternal true life of God. To gain the life of eternal true life of God is a total experience, the most intense experience of all experiences that a man could have. Therefore, God's life renews man's perspective. No matter how hopeless a situation may be, he is able to regard, accept, and judge that situation from the perspective of life. And through that very life, giving power of that life, he's able to become a channel of life without being constrained by a situation or conditions. What is the result of Elder Huang becoming a channel for life? Although the fact that his mother is still a human vegetable, his mother helped him to restore his health. His mother helped him to become a more mature Christian. And his mother helped him to become an author and to get a job. His mother, who became the human vegetables, helped her to find his wife, who knows what is really important in life. And through the marriage, he and his wife has a son and has a happy family. These are the miracles of life that God's life accomplished when he became the passageway of God's life. Beloved brothers and sisters, the eternal life, the true life of God, is present among us now through the Word of God given to us. Let us not make the foolish mistake of avoiding that life. And thereby becoming people who are not considered worthy of that life. No matter how glamorously we live in this world, it will decay and disappear without a trace. Let us all embrace the life that has come to us from the perspective of that life. Let us look, judge, and accept everything, and thereby live as channels of life. No matter how insignificant we may be, miracles of life that we cannot dare imagine will happen in our lives, because that life that comes to us is the eternal life, true life of God that has never seen decay. Let us pray. Apostle Paul, who went to Pisidian Antioch, preached on the same day at the same place, same word of God. The Jewish, yet Jewish leaders argued with and criticized the word of God and blocked Paul from further preaching God's word at the synagogue, and thereby made the foolish mistake of admitting that they were not worthy of God's eternal life. But the Gentiles in today's text now only rejoiced in God's word and praised him, but spread the word to people in that region and became the channel of life, and in doing so, show themselves as be those appointed for eternal life. Dear God, we thank you that before these two types of people, you have made us look back on what kind of life we have been leading. Help us not to make the foolish mistake of classifying ourselves as the ones unworthy of eternal life, when the eternal life, the true life of God, has already come to us through the words of God, through the word and prayers. Help us always to live with the strength which is in that life. Help us to regard, judge, and accept all situations from the perspective of life, and so that we could live as channels of life, no matter where and when we happen to be. Even in bleak situations, allow us to pray how, not why, we could live as your channel of life. And through our lives lived in such way, may miracles of life that cannot be imagined to happen, so that we may become joyful in having revealed that we've been appointed for eternal life through our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.